Today we're going to speak about the rebuilding after Bar Kokhba. After the Bar Kokhba revolt, there were severe demographic and territorial setbacks. The number of dead and the number of captives who filled the slave markets in Israel, in Eretz Yisrael, and elsewhere were enormous. There were so many slaves that, according to one report, a Jewish slave could be bought for a horse's ration. Many towns and villages were razed and never rebuilt. Jerusalem, in fact, was built up again, but as a pagan Roman city, and Jews were forbidden to live in the city and were allowed to visit it only once a year on the ninth day of Av to mourn on the ruins of the holy Beis HaMikdash. In order to wipe out the memory of the bond between the Jews and the land, Hadrian, the Roman emperor, changed the name of the province from Iudea to Syria Palestina. A harsh time of persecution followed in the land after this event, as many leading scholars, such as Rabbi Akiva, were put to death, and others were compelled to flee and live in hiding for many years. Additionally, at the end of the Bar Kokhba revolt, Jews began to fear that the chain of transmission of Jewish tradition would be broken, the Mesorah. There's a famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yudalid Amud Aleph, that states, Pamachas Gazra Malchus Harishal Shmad Al Yisrael Shkolos Sobech Yehorig V'chola Nismach Yehorig V'yol Shesomchim Ba Teichorev U'tchumim Shesomchim Baham Yeyakru. That there is the evil empire made a decree. They decreed religious persecution, religious edicts on the Jewish people. They said anyone who gives smicha will be killed. Anyone who gets smicha will be killed. A city that's near it, that where the smicha takes place, will be destroyed. The boundaries of, let's say it's outside the city, but whatever city is nearest, it's close to the city, the area, will also be uprooted. So Masa Yehuda ben Bava. Yehuda ben Bava wanted to give smicha to the next generation. Halach v'yashav lo ben shnei harim gedolim ben shnei ayoros gedolos. He went and he sat between two large mountains and two large cities. Uven shnei tchumei shavos, and between two areas, that an area where the basically was not near any particular city. So you could, that was ben Usha l'shafram, between Usha and Shafram. And there, that was an area where you couldn't pin this action on any particular city. The Samach Shem Chamisha Tkenim, he gave smicha to five elders, Elohim, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lozer ben Shabua. Tremendous Tanoim, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lozer ben Shabua. And Rav Avia Mosif Af, Rabbi Nechemi, even Rabbi Nechemi was among these individuals who received smicha, Kevin Shekiru Oivem Bohem. So apparently the enemy got wind of it and they caught them, or they were approaching them. Amar Lahem, Yehuda ben Bava said to them, Benai, Rotsu, run. Amulo, they said to him, Rabbi, Mati Alecha, will be with you, Amar Lahem. He said to them, don't worry. Hareini, Mutal, Lifnehem, Kevin, Shein, Lahafkin. Don't worry, I'm like a stone. Don't worry, B. I can't run anymore. It's over for me. Amulo, Zazam, Yishem, Ad Shenatsu, Bo, Shloshmes, Lunbio, Shalbarza. They threw 300 spears at him, Vasu Kikabar, they turned him into a sieve. He was so bloody after that. And so we see that this was Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava's attempt to give smicha at a time when it was forbidden. The Gemara then says, but wait a second, did Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava give him smicha? Didn't Rabbi Akiva give him smicha? So the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva gave him smicha, but it wasn't accepted yet. And then Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava gave smicha, then he accepted it. Again, there's a parallel tradition in Masechet Yevamot Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis that describes how 12,000 pairs of students Rabbi Akiva perished, and then Rabbi Akiva gave smicha to, or taught Torah to, five new students, similar names, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua, the same Talmidim. So, not so clear exactly, did Yehuda ben Bava give smicha, did Rabbi Akiva give him smicha? The Igeris Rav Shira Gaon, Rav Shira Gaon suggests that perhaps Rabbi Akiva gave him smicha, but they were too young, or at least, and then Yehuda ben Bava gave him smicha. But the point is that this is a very dangerous time, and individuals, Torah leaders, were willing to risk their lives so that they would have smicha, because after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, so the Romans thought they'd destroy the center of the Jewish people, the Beis HaMikdash, they'd eliminate political sovereignty, that would be the end of the Jewish people. And then they realize that what binds them is not just the Beis HaMikdash, it's not political sovereignty, but it's Torah. So So the way you attack that is you don't allow for unity of Torah, you don't allow for religious leadership, you outlaw smicha, and that's why this is such a big deal. And in fact, the Pri Chadash in Or HaChaim Siman Tav Tzadi Gimel Seif Beis writes that he asked the question, why do we celebrate Lag BaOmer? We celebrate it because people stop dying. That's a reason to have a whole celebration of Lag BaOmer. It's a little strange that we celebrate Lag BaOmer because people stop dying. Do we have a big party on the day when Auschwitz was liberated? That doesn't make any sense. We perhaps breathe a sigh of relief, but we're not going to celebrate. So the Pri Chadash suggests that maybe this celebration is on the students that Rabbi Akiva added afterwards. Maybe Lag BaOmer is a time when we celebrate the fact that he gave smicha to this new to these new students that they're rebuilding after the devastation of the failed Bar Kokhba revolt. The disastrous outcome of the Bar Kokhba revolt did much to break down the nation's consistent opposition to Roman rule. For the first time, one hears voices in favor of accepting Roman authority until the time of the redemption. The restrictive measures adopted by the Romans remained in force throughout the remainder of Hadrian's reign, which was from 135 to 138, and were partially relaxed with the accession of the next king, the next empire, Antoninus Pius. Now, what happened after the failed Bar Kokhba revolt is that the spiritual center moved. During the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, the center of Jewish life was located in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem. After the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, the center moved to Yavne. After the failed Bar Kokhba revolt, the Sanhedrin moved from Yavne to the Galil, which had been less affected by the war. The Shir HaShirim writes in Shir HaShirim Rabba, in the Medrash, Shir HaShirim Rabba, Parsha Beis, states in Simon Gimel, B'Shilhi HaShmad, Niskansu Rabbosin L'Usha, at the end of the religious persecution, our rabbis came to Usha. Ve'elu hein, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechami, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shirin, Rabbi Yochai, Rabbi Eliezer, Benosh, Rabbi Yossi, Haglili, Rabbi Eliezer, Ben Yaakov. So these refer to, many of these are the students of Rabbi Akiva. So this highlights how the movement goes from Yavne to Usha. They rebuild. The Sanhedrin moved from place to place within the Galil, first in Usha, then to Shfaram, then to Beit Sharim, then to Tzipori, then to Tveria, until its dissolution. But again, this is the center. The center now, after the failed Bar Kokhba revolt in 135, is the Galil. Nevertheless, Judea was not entirely devoid of its academies and scholars. For example, in Lud, an academy remains active there for centuries, but the center of leadership was in the Galil. A leading part in the rehabilitation of the Jewish community and spiritual life was played by some of Rabbi Akiva's young disciples, such as Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi of Usha, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta of Tzipori, and Shimon Bar Yochai, famous names of the Mishnah. It's a famous story, Maseches Shabbos, Daf Lamed Gimel Beis, which states that Yosfi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, the three Tanoi, and famous Tanoi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon are sitting around the Yosef Yehuda ben Garim Gabayo, and Yehuda ben Garim was sitting near them. Pasach, Rabbi Yehuda opens and he says, Kama noy ma'asim shel umazu, look how wonderful the deeds of this nation are. He is praising the Romans. Tiknu shvakim, tiknu gesharim, tiknu merchatzos. They fixed marketplaces, they fixed bridges, they fix, and they set up bathhouses. Rabbi Yossi Shasak, Rabbi Yossi was silent. Nana Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai answered, and he said, "V'amar, kol ma shetiknu lo tiknu el tzarech atzman. Whatever they fixed was only for themselves. Tiknu shvakim lo shibahem zonos. You know, they set up marketplaces. You know why they did that? So they could have prostitutes, a place for their prostitutes. Merchatzos. You know why they set up and they built all these bathhouses? Just so they can engage in their own pleasures to beautify themselves. Gishar, why they set up bridges? Just so they can collect taxes. Halach Yehuda ben Gerim, Vesipa Divrayim, Yehuda ben Gerim told what each of these Tanaim said. Venishmu Lamachos, word got back to the empire and to the Caesar. And Amru Yehuda Sheila Yisaleh, Yehuda who praised them will be elevated. Yossi Sheshasak, Yigal and Tzipori. Yossi, who was silent, should be exiled to Tzipori. And Shimon Shegina Yeharik. Shimon, who criticized the Roman government, should be killed. Now, it seems from the story that Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi was the most moderate and even complimentary of the Romans. In Rav Betty Lau's Sefer on the Sages, he points out that there are other passages that seem to indicate that he was aware of religious persecution. There's Yerushalmi Ne'er Perek Tes, Halacha Aleph, where he describes how they carried Sifrei Torah in times of religious persecution, so he's aware of this. In Maseches Yoma, Daf Yud Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi predicts the downfall of Rome, and he wants to, and in fact, the debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Yochai is really a debate between God and the Romans. In Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Beis Amud Beis, the Gemara cites a conversation between God and the Romans. God says to the Romans, "But Maya Saktim, what were you involved with?" Amr Lefanim, they said, "Ribono Shalom, Harbe Shvakim Taknino, Harbe Merchatzos Asinu, Harbe Kesef Zafirbino." Yeah, we made marketplaces, we built bathhouses, and we collected a lot of gold and silver. And V'chulam Lo Asinu El Bishvil Yisrael Kadesh Yisatzim B'Torah. We did all these things so that Klai Yisrael should occupy themselves in Torah. And then Amr Lam Kadosh Baruch Hu, God responds to them. Shotim shavolam, foolish people, komashia, season, whatever you did, letzorach atzcham, asim, you did it for your own sake, for your own benefit. Tikantim shvakim, laoshi bohem zonos, you built marketplaces so you can have prostitutes amongst yourself, mechartzel, sadeh bohem atzcham, you made bathhouses for yourself to give yourself pleasure, to enjoy for yourself, and kesev ezav shalihu, the gold and silver is mine. So it's a very similar story. Some argue that there is no historical basis for the story between Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, Shimon Ben Yochai, and Rabbi Yossi, but rather the purpose of that story is to highlight the different philosophies between Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon Ben Yochai. Are we concerned about consequences, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that the Romans, at the end of the day, they built all these wonderful things. We care about consequences. And Shimon Ben Yochai is focusing on intentions. That might reflect their halachic worldview. For example, there's a machlokas on, let's say, when it comes to Shabbos, davar sheinu miskaven, yichayev, if you do an action that results in a malacha, but you don't intend to do it. Like, say, you drag a chair on the ground, and unintentionally, it's not inevitable, but unintentionally, you make a furrow. You might or might not be, but you end up doing it. It's not inevitable. So davar sheinu miskaven. Rabbi Yehuda says, we care about consequences, so you're chayev, that's not allowed. It's also, you're not allowed to do that. And Rishon Yochai says you're allowed to do that because we care about intention. So maybe, but in any case, it should be noted that even in the middle of the second century, after the anti-Jewish laws were relaxed, the political status of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael was far from stable. And there was tremendous economic hardship. There's a famous Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Amud Aleph that says, Yiras Hashem hi tishalal, the fear of God will be praised. Zedoro Shabihu Bar Eloi. This is the generation of Yehuda Bar Eloi. Amru Olav Yehuda Bar Eloi Shahayu Shisha Talmidim Miskasim B'Talas Achas Oskim Torah. Six students would cover themselves with an outer garment and consider themselves with Torah. They were so poor, it was six garments for one person, but they're still studying Torah. Sometimes, as a result to religious persecution, one result could be withdrawal from this world. This world is so painful. So I'm going to withdraw from this world and almost just think about spirituality and really not engage in the world at all. And sometimes, unfortunately, due to religious persecution, it can lead to heresy. There are examples of both withdrawal from this world after the failed Bar Kokhba revolt, and there's an example, a famous example of heresy following the failed Bar Kokhba revolt, and perhaps, it's not 100% clear, and perhaps these consequences or these types of behaviors may have been consequences from the failed Bar Kokhba revolt. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai represents the world of withdrawal. When life is difficult, perhaps the easiest response is to focus almost entirely on the spiritual and not the physical. The famous debate in Brachos Daf Lamed Hayam and Beis between Rabbi Yishmael and Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Yishmael is of the view the Torah says V'yasafta diganecha, you should gather your grain. So Rabbi Yishmael says, but wait, doesn't it say in the first parak of Yoshua, Lo yamush sefer Torah zeh bipicha, that the Torah should not depart from your mouth? But nevertheless, the Torah also says V'yasafta diganecha, that you have to also engage in work. You have to be a learner-earner. You learn Torah, and you also gather the grain. You do work. You engage in this world. You act normally in this world. You have to plow and you have to plant so that you have crops. You have what to eat. But you also learn Torah. You do both. Rabbi Shimon Chai says, "Efshe Adam Chorish Bishas Chavisha V'Zareh Bishas Zriya V'Kolte Bishas Ketzira V'Dash Bishas Disha V'Zora Bishas Haruach Torah Matei Aleha." If you're going to plow, if you're going to plow and you're going to plant and you're going to harvest, you're going to thresh and you're going to winnow, what's going to be with Torah? Rather, what says Rabbi Shimon Chai? If we're involved in Torah, Hashem will make sure that we have our food. So he believes in a more of a withdrawal approach, withdrawing from society. And this is connected, perhaps, with the story that we just mentioned about Maseches Shabbos, that because of what Rabbi Shimon Yochai said about the Roman government, whether literal or figurative, the bottom line is, the Gemara continues and says that he had to hide, and he ended up hiding in a cave, and miraculously he is fed by a carob tree that grew and a spring of water. So he had food and he had drink. I mean, not the best kind of food. He's had carobs for 12 years, and he had water for 12 years. But that was enough for him, and he studied Torah with his son. And then, after 12 years, Eliyahu comes to the opening of the cave, and he says that the decree, the religious persecution, has stopped. He said that that the emperor has died and the decree has been abrogated. So the Gemara goes on to continue. The Gemara continues and says that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and his son emerge from the cave and they see that there are people who are plowing and planting. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says these people are menichim chay olam ve'oski b'chay shah. They are abandoning the eternal life of Torah study and they're engaging in the temporal life for their own substance, for their own sustenance. And the Gemara says that every word of Shimon Bar Yochai and his son, Rabbi Elazar, directed their eyes was immediately burnt. And so then a baskel goes out and says, "Lahachiv olami yatzasim, you came out to destroy my world. Chizul nimaraschem, return to your cave." So then they return to their cave for 12 months, and then a divine voice comes, a baskel comes, and he says that leave your cave. And then apparently Rabbi Elazar, the Rabbi Shimon Yochai's son, would everywhere that he would strike, Rabbi Shimon would heal. So Rabbi Elazar didn't get it yet. He didn't. He was still fiery, and Rabbi Shimon became a little more moderate. And then the story continues that the sun was setting on close to Shabbos, and they see an elderly man who's holding two bundles of hadassim, and he's running, and they're asking why do you have these, and he says to honor the Shabbos. And they said, "Well, why do you have two? Just have one." Tiski lach b'chad. And he said, "Chad keneged zachar, v'chad keneged shomer." One to correspond, to observe the mitzvahs, and one is to remember the Shabbos day, and one's to observe the Shabbos day. And Shimon Bar Yochai says to his sons, "Look how kama chazi kama chavivin mitzvahs al Yisrael. Look how beautiful the mitzvahs are relating to Klal Yisrael." So then, Yasiv datayu. Their minds were put at ease. They're no longer upset. These people were not only engaged in Torah study. The son is young and fiery. He's passionate, too much above the mundane. Whereas Rav Shimon Bar Yochai finally sees the beauty in the mundane, in the simple observance of mitzvos. But again, this approach to the world reflected a withdrawal from the world. And it's no coincidence that this would be an approach by some, certainly after the failed Bar Kokhba revolt, certainly after the devastation, certainly after religious persecution, heightened focus on the spiritual. Unfortunately, another response to the failed Bar Kokhba revolt is heresy. There was a famous heretic named Elisha ben Avuya. The truth is that there were different responses to the failed Bar Kokhba revolt. And there are different explanations as to why Elisha ben Avuya became a heretic. One explanation is why he became a heretic. The Gemara Maseches Chagiga Daf Yud Aleph Beis states that there were four people who entered into the Pardes who started to study metaphysics. Ben Zoma ben Azai, Elisha ben Avuya, and Rabbi Akiva. Only Rabbi Akiva emerges unscathed, and Elisha ben Avuya became a heretic. The Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis states that the Torah mentions that the reward for two mitzvos is long life, and those two mitzvos are shiluach hatan, sending away the mother bird, and the mitzvah of kibud avraham, honoring your parents. But there's a story where there was a boy who honored his parents, when they told him to send away the mother bird, and he went up to the top of his house to do that, and when he went down, he returned down the ladder, came down, he fell and he died. So during this mitzvah, he died, and so he didn't. So you can ask, how is this long life? And one of the Amoraim interprets that long life here doesn't refer to long life in this world, but it means long life in the next world. And the Gemara says, had Elisha ben Avuya understood this interpretation, he would not have sinned. However, there is another opinion that had Elisha ben Avuya become a heretic, Lishna de Chutzbi Samaturg ben Chaza de Havagarir le Davar Acher, that he saw Chutzbis, the interpreter, a Yavne scholar and one of the 10 martyrs, being dragged along by a pig. And we read in the Gemara tragic stories of Rabbi Meir trying to get his Rebbe to do tshuva, but he was unsuccessful, and he's still quoting his teachings. So, unfortunately, in the aftermath of the Bar Kokhba revolt, yes, we managed to rebuild. Yes, we managed to give smicha to the next generation. Either Yehuda ben Bava did, a combination of Yehuda ben Bava and Rabbi Akiva. We fell down and we still got up, and we established many, many unbelievable Talmidim, new generation, Rabbi Yehuda, Bar Eloi, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Meir, tremendous scholars. At the same time, there were consequences, not only economic and political consequences, but there were spiritual consequences as well, perhaps heresy. And it also, there may have been a focus more of withdrawing from the world, perhaps as a result of this failed Bar Kokhba revolt.